Got some email from my sister this week. She reminded me of a story that I can't remember how far back it was that I heard it, and Jean remembered it too. About two dogs. Anyway, the one that my sister sent to me talks about two wolves. It says, one evening an old Cherokee Indian told his grandson about a debate that was going on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." And I'm sure that there'd be other things to add to that list. But anyway, and then he said the other is good. It is a joy, and it is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The grandson thought about it for a while and asked his grandfather the question, "Which wolf wins?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." And that's true. There's a battle going on. And in Romans chapter 7, we are going to see Paul had a battle. I didn't realize this until this week because I don't use commentaries that much. But one of the problems in Romans chapter 7 and understanding it is that some of the things that was happening to Paul, there are many Bible teachers say that it can't have, that this could not be happening to a saved man. They think if you're saved, you're not going to have trouble with sin. Or that, and primarily, it's the use of the present tense in this chapter, and it's used a lot, particularly in the latter part of this chapter, which we'll be looking at today, that they just simply have a hard time resolving that, that if you're saved, you're going to be struggling with lawlessness. And let me tell you, lawlessness is a real power even in the life of a saved person. Just being a child of God does not immune you from telling God you have a right to do certain things. Because I've done it and paid the price for it, and I'm glad I didn't have to pay it at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want to pay for it then. Because if I'm paying for it then, it lasts a whole lot longer. It was interesting this morning, I was tuning in WCTS, the Bible station, and was listening to, I like to listen to their music on Sunday morning, and happened to hear a preacher, well-known preacher, very popular preacher, talking about what Jesus Christ did to the devil. And he was telling the congregation that the devil has no more power on you. And that he destroyed the devil. And you know what? That's just simply not true. The devil is alive. The devil is still walking about seeking whom he may devour. God still has given him the power to devour. And that's not lost people. I'm telling you, the devil's not interested in devouring lost people. He's already got them, you know, so to speak, in the palms of his hand. It's the saved that can be devoured. And so therefore, when we talk about, or when we're getting ready to read in Romans 7, the struggle that Paul had with sin in his life, let me tell you, it's real. And the devil is real. And let me just say this. What Jesus Christ did to Satan is this. He reduced the power and the authority that he had before the cross. Satan had more power to deceive, more power to devour prior to the cross than he does today. But let me tell you, he still has a certain level of power and he will use it. I'm going to read Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Kind of ambitious to try to cover these verses, but hopefully we can do it. And be able to take home something that we can use this week. For we know that the law is... excuse me. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now when it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. With the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Paul struggles just like we do. And what this passage of Scripture is, I believe, is teaching us, whether we get to it where you can grasp what, that which I do not, and in all the things that he says in there, what he is saying is this. He is not denying that the law is good and that the law influences him inwardly. Because the law does. Paul is not saying that he is lawless, because his struggle proves that he is not lawless. If you struggle with sin, you're not living in lawlessness. It's when you have quit struggling with sin in your life that you have become lawless. So what this is teaching us is that Paul appreciates the fact that lawlessness is a factor in everyone's life, and it influences us, because none of us want to be confined. All of us want to have liberty and freedom to do what we want to do. Now what Paul says, we know that the law is spiritual. And the word know can also be translated, we have seen. In fact, Paul has been teaching on the law. We have seen that the law is spiritual. It has value. It has virtue. It has restrictions. And it guides us in what is pleasing to him. But he continues, but I am carnal. And this word here, I, is in the nominative case. He's talking about himself. I am carnal. Paul saved, yet he is carnal. He's in the flesh. And this word carnal is an adjective describing Paul. So that's what I've put in here. It's an adjective. It's in the nominative case. Because Paul's in the nominative case, it's describing Paul. That's what I'm saying by putting those notes in there. And he is sold under the sin. And the sin here has sin with a definite article before it. I believe it's the sin of lawlessness. And it's not that he has sold himself to lawlessness, so he is lawless. He is just under the control or the influence of lawlessness. That's what I think he's saying. I don't think Paul is sold out to be a lawless man, because he has already acknowledged that the law is spiritual. The restrictions on lawlessness have value. And we can see that, and I hope that you can see that as well. We see this. But Paul does say that I am in the flesh. I do have carnal feelings. They're problems. I have problems. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 6 and through 8, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death." Now, this is not talking to lost people. This is talking to saved people. To be carnally minded means that you will perish. And to perish means that you will be denied entrance into the kingdom of heaven. There will be no ruling and reigning, but you will be subjects and servants in the kingdom rather than sovereigns. You won't be a king or a lord. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life in the coming kingdom and peace now. If you are spiritually minded, you're thinking about spiritual things. Let me tell you, you're going to have peace. If you're not, you're going to be struggling, worrying over things that you don't need to worry. In other words, be anxious for nothing. I'm guilty of struggling with that often, seems like. But anyway, to be spiritually minded, to be thinking about the promises of God and the experiences that God's children have had with Him in the Old Testament provides encouragement. I'm just reading this morning about Joseph and his brothers scheming to kill him, and Reuben intervening, and then they decided they'd sell him, you know. And you know what Joseph said? "Don't worry about that, fellas. God was just sending me down here ahead of you guys so I could just feed you, keep you from starving to death." You know, God has a plan. God's in, you know, and it wasn't a good time for Joseph. Let me tell you this. And there are times when things happen to us that are not good times. But you know what? We need to be spiritual minded and be thinking that God's in charge and in control, even though we're out of control. Okay? Because we do like to control things. But anyway, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. In other words, if you're carnal, you're not subject to the law. You don't let the law affect you. Neither indeed can it be, or can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're living in a carnal way, you're not living by faith. To live carnally means that you are living by feeling. I feel that God doesn't like me. I feel this and that. And we're operating in the feelings. We're not pleasing the Lord. Now, to be carnal, we find Paul talking to some carnal Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When Paul says, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto were ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Carnality has to do with immaturity. If you're carnal, you're not mature in the Lord. If you're carnal, you've gone back to being a baby, wanting your way. Not necessarily wanting your way with your peers, but wanting your way with God. I don't want this God, I want that. But there is a time of of envying others, strife, struggle, divisions, walking as men. Now, a babe is one who is can't handle meat, strong food. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." If you're carnal, you need assurance of salvation. If you're carnal, you need to find out what God doesn't like and what He does like, and start making adjustments. If you're doing what He doesn't like, a babe needs to quit it. And that's what the family has to do with helping a babe to make changes in his life. "Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." This has to do with study of the scriptures, maturing. And strong meat has to do with the meat of the word and not the milk. The meat of the word is not pre-digested food. Milk is pre-digested food. Babies depend upon mama to pre-digest the meat. But there comes a time when you should be able to hunt and get the meat of the word on your own. Now, Paul is saying that as we mature, then we move away from being carnally minded. Now, in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, it says that, "For that which I do, I would do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." In other words, this is a struggle. When it comes to living, there is a spiritual struggle. There is a struggle between the things of the flesh. And let me tell you this. God knows that we're still in the flesh. He remembereth our frame, according to Psalms 103. He remembers our frame. He knows that we are dust. And you know what? I am so glad He remembers that I am dust, because you know what? I have a tendency to forget that. I'm tough enough. I'm strong enough. And if we just keep remembering we're dust, and then we are totally dependent upon the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. And so therefore there's a great struggle. And Paul says, I struggle. He says, for that which I do, present middle. And the word do is accomplish. And this is I can see is an outward thing. He accomplishes things outwardly. In other words, there's an inward and an outward. Things that you see, the things that we see on the outside, and then the inward man. The man on the inside. He says, the things that I do for myself or accomplish for myself, I allow not. And the word allow is in the present tense too. In other words, he is not sold out to lawlessness because he says, I don't allow this. But I'm struggling with it. And I'm struggling with it inwardly. For what I would, present active, or desire, that do I not. In other words, I'm continually resisting it. I don't practice it. Or I'm trying not to practice it. It's basically what it amounts to. But what I hate, present active, that do I, present active. It's an ongoing battle. That's the thing. And the thought that we need to get is this. There are times when we are going to have victory. And life experience helps us to be more victorious than less victorious in our walk with the Lord. And if we feed the bad dog or the dog of the flesh, he's going to win. If we feed the dog that is spiritual, he's going to win. But you know, one thing I want to just remind you is this. The evil dog never dies. You are not going to starve that dog to death, okay? I just want to let you know that in case some of you are thinking that one day you won't have any more problems with this sin problem, sin question. That dog's dead. Okay, that's not true. Now, in verse 16, he says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good." In other words, what he's saying, then if I do, present active, outwardly, that which I would not, inwardly. And the word, by the way, the word "nots" in here is the, in this verse, is OU. And OU is different from the "not" ME. OU is emphatic "not." ME is a "not" with a maybe, or a "no" with a maybe. Sometimes we say "no" to a child, and they know that you mean maybe. So you know what they do? They go ahead and do it. So a kid learns that when you mean "no" emphatically and when you mean "no," maybe. Well, you know what? Paul is using the emphatic "nots" in this passage. So the word "I consent not," the word "consent" can be translated "agree," and this is in the present tense. And I consent or agree with the law that it is good. In other words, he is just affirming the fact that the law is good, even though I am struggling with my behavior. Now, in verse 17, it reads, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." The word "do" in this passage of Scripture is in the present tense. Then it is no more I that practices it or does it, but the sin, lawlessness, that dwelleth in me is, and it is continuing to dwell there. In other words, the desire to be lawless is continually there. And I think we need to appreciate it and know it. Because if we know that it's there, then we're going to be able to deal with it better than if we think it's gone. By the way, this is a participle, and it is an adjective, and it's the sin of lawlessness is dwelling in me, or dwelling within me. And we'll deal with that, I believe, later on in our studies this morning about this in 2 Corinthians. But let's continue. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but to perform that which is good I find not." Paul says, "I know," perfect active, meaning I have known in the past and continue to know in the present, "that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing," present active, continues to dwell, no good thing, "for the will or desire is present with me, but to do the good things, but how to perform them, that which is good, I struggle with it." How to do it? How to work it out? And we have the same problems. There are some places that we just have no business walking. Because if we're walking in certain places, Were there certain materials that should not your eyes behold? It's amazing what you can do. Even taking the channel flipper on the TV and just stepping through the different channels. It's amazing what will get your attention, and you want to tarry there a little while to see what you can see. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you do. And so we need to be careful how we handle these things. And the struggle will continue in verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. It's a continual struggle. And notice that the word I would is, or desire, is in the present tense. I do is in the present tense. The evil that I would, present tense. That I do, present tense. You see that? It's just all the time there. It never lets up. There's always that struggle to submit to disobedience to God. Romans 7:20. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I heard of an evangelist one time that allowed himself certain activities in his life that if you knew the evangelist and knew what he was doing, it would be heinous. But he says, oh, I'm not doing that. It's my sin nature that's doing it, so therefore it doesn't bother me. I'm not doing it. And he was using Romans 7 to justify his behavior. And so therefore, you just can't blame your behavior upon what's dwelling in you and get away with it with God. You can't do that. Paul didn't get away with it, and he wasn't trying to get away with it. He says in verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now he's getting down to what he's trying to say. I find then a law that when I would do good, it is evil. Evil is present with me. The law shows me what I need to do, and yet I know that there's evil present with me. When I know to do right, the tendency in my life, in my heart, is to do wrong. And Paul says, I found a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. He knows that, and we need to know that too. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The word delight is in the present tense, middle voice. He delights in the law of the God after the inward man. In other words, it's the inward man. You know what? If we're renewing the inward man, if we're feeding the good dog, it's going to be renewed and refreshed and strengthened. Because that's what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And notice that it's not an event one day. It's got to be done every day. And that's part of finding the law to help me to overcome the evil that's with me all the time. And so therefore, we need verses. I just think about the Navigator verses I memorized when I was in the Navy. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Some verses that, you know, I learned. And if you put them there, God can bring them to your mind. And that's what He did often. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit will give us strength, particularly if we have hidden His word in our heart. Because it's the Holy Spirit that brings to mind the Word that will help us to behave. Then in verse 23 of Romans 7, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Again, the present tense is continues in this verse. I see, present active, another law in my members. That is, a law of sin. And they're warring against the law of my mind, that which I know to be right. It's a struggle there. And this is in the inward man. And bring me into captivity. In the law, what captivity? In the law of the sin of lawlessness, which is in my members. This is why, and it does mention the members, and this is the reason why it's very important for us to mortify our members. In other words, we need to make sure that those things that are sensitive in our hearts and lives no longer can continue to be sensitive, so that we respond to them. We're living in a day when nobody blushes because of what people have seen and heard. There was a day when you would blush. You would be embarrassed. But we have become desensitized. And we have mortified not our members, but our conscience. We seared it with a hot iron. Then Paul reaches out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" This word body is also translated in Revelation 18:13 as a slave. Who shall deliver me from slavery of this death, or the control of this death? And this is Thanatos' death, the death, the death of the soul, the death of one's life as far as the kingdom is concerned. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul speaks about it, the ever presence of this sentence of death in his life. But we had the sentence of the death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. The so great a death is the opposite of so great salvation. The so great salvation has to do with entering the kingdom. The so great death is the death of a child of God who rebels against his Father, and it's the loss of life in the coming kingdom. Now, He has delivered us from so great a death, and He doth deliver, present active, from this death, and we hope He will yet deliver us from this death in the future. And Paul is saying, this death is ever with me. I know about the death of my life as far as the coming kingdom is concerned, but I know who is delivering me from that death. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever, from the ages unto the ages. So the Lord is our deliverer. He is our Savior. He not only saves us when we believe on Him and puts us into the family, but He also delivers us from the influence and the power of evil in our life. And we need to appreciate the fact that the war is going on. And will continue to go on. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5, we need, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." We're walking in the flesh. This has to do with real flesh. We're walking in flesh. It has desires, and most of them are base. Not all of them. Thank God for that. We do not war after the flesh. In other words, the word war is actually can be translated campaign. I'm not running a campaign according to the flesh. In other words, I am not going to win by feeding the bad dog. That is campaigning according to the flesh. In other words, you feed the bad dog, that's not going to help you win over the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down, present active, of strongholds. Casting down, present active, imaginations. This has to do with our thought life. Imaginations, what we're imagining. We need to cast them down. It's in the flesh that we have these imaginations. It's in the flesh that we have high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We need to bring our thoughts into captivity. If we don't, then we're going to be practicing that which we would not allow, and not doing those things which we would allow. Now, I want to close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I do feel like that we need to end on a positive note because of the struggles that Paul had. You know, the Lord gives us the victory. We can have it. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. Therefore, my beloved, that's an adjective. He's talking to the beloved. Brethren, another adjective. Be steadfast. The word be is in the present tense. It's a be verb. And the word steadfast is an adjective as well. Be firm. Unmovable, an adjective. I like the adjectives. It helps us describe what we need to be like and what we should be. Always abounding, present tense. And it's also an adjective because it's a participle without a definite article. We are to be abounding. That should be part of our resume, I guess you could say. In the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not, and the word not here is emphatic, in vain in the Lord. The word labor here carries the thought of weariness and fatigue. It's worth it. You're going to get tired struggling with the flesh. You're going to get tired struggling with lawlessness influencing your life. But let me tell you, we know that being weary is not a vain thing if we let Jesus Christ give us the victory. May God help us to know that we're going to be struggling, but we can have the victory. Father, I just pray that you'd help us to appreciate the fact that you do not want us to quit and you do not want us to be defeated. You want us to win. Even though we may struggle with lawlessness and with sin, because we are in the flesh, we're still made of dust, we are weak, yet in thee we find strength and power to live a life that would honor and glorify thee. We thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes this possible. We pray you'd bless the message to each of our hearts, for it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.